Welcome to episode 14 of Transform Together, the Holisticon podcast meetup. I'm Johannes Schartau, and today I'm talking to Keith McCandless. Keith McCandless is the co-developer of Liberating Structures, a practical repertoire of methods designed to include everyone, unlock creativity, and make collaboration more productive in groups of any size. He works at the intersection of organization development, complexity science, and social innovation, helping people and organizations tackle complex challenges, discover opportunities, and build momentum for change. Together with Henry Limanovich, he helped develop Liberating Structures over many years of fieldwork and co-authored The Surprising Power of Liberating Structures, which has become a widely used resource for facilitators, leaders, and change practitioners. Keith is in the process of publishing the Liberating Structures Field Book together with Nancy White, which includes 10 new Liberating Structures. Keith, welcome to the podcast.
Johannes, delighted to be here with you all.
All right, let's get into this. The Liberating Structures menu is about to undergo the most significant change since you released The Surprising Power of Liberating Structures. What exactly is going to change?
Lots of things are changing. Although you can trust everything that we did with the first book and the repertoire, it's all there, but we're transcending quite a few different elements. And probably the most important thing to know is we are incorporating what we learned in the field from practitioners into the new book. So probably a lot of people are interested in, well, what are the new liberating structures? But really what we're doing is bringing the wisdom of what people in the field have done with the work. And particularly when Nancy and I started, we thought, as COVID started, it was just a few weeks and most of the structures had been translated into online form. And it took our breath away. It's like, oh, really? You can do that. And so the one of the premises of the book is together we're incredibly adaptive and creative. And we saw that and we thought we were just going to write a new book about online. Well, once we opened the box, much more happened to hold what it is that the field has done with the work. And there's a lot of different elements of that, and I know we'll get to some of them today, and we'll try one of the new-ish structures.
Which of the new structures are you personally most excited about, and what do they make possible that the existing Liberating Structures menu hadn't been able to make possible?
Well, you and I work together on the strategy not working, and I'd say that's an important one for me because it's one of those structures that combines a bunch of others for a big, a big complex activity in most organizations. So if you're saying, oh, you can use liberating structures for to fix a dull meeting, of course, but can you use it to reshape and include all voices and do something really smart with strategy in your organization? So that's another level. So that's probably an important one. The biggest thing that people will notice in the new book is the principles have been brought forward. So each structure is linked to a specific principle. And so it takes it up from like, oh, this is a good tool to this is part of an interrelated set of things we believe in, a different way that a system, an organization operates. So you can still use each one as a separate tool. You know, they're modular. Each one can be fit into different places and do provide a function. And yet, simultaneously, they fit together through a set of principles. And we make that more explicit for anybody who is I don't think you have to be principle driven. It's just the work fits into a larger set of ideas.
You just mentioned the liberating structures principles. Did you change any of those, or did you just put them more into the foreground and give them a bit more space and more connection to the individual structures?
More into the foreground, and we've illustrated them now. So they're a little bit more tangible, maybe. Not just words on the page, but they're illustrated. And I think you know Taya is the illustrator that we use for the work.
Yes, Taya Shukin, shout out to an amazing artist. I heard that there will be 10 new liberating structures that are added to the menu. Were there any of the existing ones that you changed significantly or maybe even consider dropping, or is that basically the same?
They all have made it through the existing, the legacy, we're calling them legacy structures. They've all made it into the 43, the expanded repertoire. A couple were poorly named. I take responsibility for this. So everybody's going to have to get over a couple things, maybe if you want to. We aren't, this isn't a like, oh my God, the tablets have been brought down from the mountaintop. This is, you can take the work and we're going to open things up. So anybody who wants to make changes to how they're using the work, either in the app, if it's you, Johannes, or in a course that they're doing or a workshop, I'm here to help, and Nancy too, to make the adaptations. But the couple name changes that you're not going to like, probably. So TRIZ is this exquisite Russian engineering methodology. What we published as TRIZ is really just a small little part of that. And even then, it's sort of a wild adaptation of what is there. So we're calling that creative destruction, which is more centrally what it is, right? It suggests that you've got to move some things out of the way. If you're going to get anything new, you have to creatively destroy some of what's there. So that's still the same idea, basically the same set of steps, but it has a new name. And so, and we'd like to do that. The other one that's also very popular is Options Place is now replacing Open Space Technology. So similarly, we did a really creative version that was smaller and simpler. And not everybody who loves Open Space Technology liked what we did with, you know, so that's part of what the field was telling us and why we made some changes. So that's called Options Place. And it includes now a wider range of approaches that in which the participants shape the agenda in the moment. So if you use Lean Coffee, for example, or there's a host of other give the pen to the participants, you know, make the agenda in the moment methodology. So we're recognizing that there's more than one way and suggesting that our options place is something a little different and maybe simpler to use. So yeah, everything through, but those are the two big, ooh, I don't like that probably, or, you know, people may not like the name changes.
I'm getting so excited. Could you just, you don't have to name all the 10 new structures, maybe could you give us some highlights? That's also a question in the chat. Is Matt T now considered out of development? And I've seen that there is also a bit of change to Matty. Could you, I don't know, just pick whatever you like, give us an idea of what we can expect.
Because I've been writing the book with Nancy for 2 years, Birgit, you get this directly, how challenging it is. I can recite them easily, but I'm not going to. MADT, hugely popular always. We have combined MADT and what we're calling COMT. And COMT is the online version. So simultaneously with MADT, COMT, it now has an icon. It has a set of steps that includes both simultaneously. So if you're hosting, you can go mad or calm very easily. So yes, that made it into the formal repertoire. Something wildly popular that just had to be in there, Spiral Journal. I think because so many people were, it was kind of hard to show up all the way after COVID online. So something that draws out, gives you a chance to draw out more of your own imagination before you start interacting with others, hugely important. So Spiral Journal is there. The principles of walk around is there. So here we're bringing more directly, what's the difference between what you say is important and what you actually do, right? Let's bring that into the conversation. So it's, that's a really important one. Another one, and this, the period, the 11, 12 years in between the first book and now, this was a period of time in which we could more confidently say, this is how to, this is the minimum. So the other big idea is the minimum specifications. We only want to have the least, the smallest set of rules that get things done. So for something like grief walking, oh my God, can you collect people in a way and invite them to show up for each other when they're experiencing a loss? So what's the minimum you need to safely do to support addressing a loss together? And I've used it enough to be confident that we've had those minimum specs for something as maybe you might think that's tricky or you wouldn't want to run a grief walking. But we became confident enough over these dozen years to put things like that into the repertoire. Another very, okay, you've got to cut me off if I'm going too far because I can keep going a little more. Okay, two more that I really adore. One is called, oh God, it's so funny because we did change the name of it, but it's the, we originally called it Network Pattern Cards, but really it's Network Pattern Relationships. And so there's 10 kind of patterns that people organize if you diagram them. And so that's a really important thing. We kind of think the way that we've organized our network is just inviolable, or it's just the way it is. You actually shift your pattern underneath all of those relationships. And that particular liberating structure deepens possibilities. And I use it very frequently. And again, we became confident that we had something important to share there. And it's been illustrated more beautifully. Last one is strategy not working. It's kind of like, if you're familiar, and I think most people here are very familiar with the repertoire, it's kind of like purpose to practice, but let's go higher and deeper simultaneously and beyond just projects. How would you, what's your strategy for all the projects at the same time? And so that one was hard to put together because of the complexity, the number of choices you can do there. So we also started to define in a string, what is an anchoring? You know, what's the anchoring liberating structure? What's the thing that you're going to get the most action out of in your string? So there we have options for each element of 6 questions for strategy not working. And we identify an anchor liberating structure. You can just do 1, 2, 4 all to answer 6 questions, or you can anchor each one in something that goes a little deeper. So, you know, we wanted to, the real tension in all of the new ones is to get to the minimum specs. Try not to go on and on and on about all the cool things you can do as a facilitator, but rather make it simple enough for somebody who doesn't call themselves a coach, a consultant, a facilitator, just somebody who wants a a better result.
Maybe the last one. Do you have a rough timeline for us? When can we expect to see those changes? The book, there's a new website. Any idea?
Yeah. The manuscript. Oh, God, today or tomorrow, the very final manuscript that can be uploaded onto Ingram Spark and Amazon is there. It is ready with a couple little itty bitty changes. And really, now the thing that might slow us down a little is getting a new website up, mostly because we were waiting for the very, very final manuscript. And there's a lot of detail in there. So June 1 is a reasonable time in which the you could buy the book.
There's a specific sentence that I wanted to ask you about. And you stated this a while ago, and you said something like, I don't believe in whole system change for 1 second anymore. So the idea of that we can actually go into any kind of system, any organization or group or whatever it is, and that we believe we can fully flip the entire system at once. Could you just elaborate a bit on that? Why are you saying this? What do you mean?
It's for the scholars. It's a good starting point for understanding the foundation of the work, which is complexity science. And I'm going to try not to be nerdy about that. But the suggestion at the core is that these are patterns that repeat, like the pattern of your lungs or a root system. And the patterns that are in each of these structures that you can pluck out and put in a thing creates a different pattern that's more creative and more adaptable. And we're actually suggesting that it's reliable. It happens every time if you follow the minimum specifications. And so that we're shifting the pattern at the most fundamental relationship level. So the pattern of our relationships is what determines, in theory, and in practice, it seems to be true, this pattern of relating, if you can shift it, it fundamentally is at the level of this conversation we're having right now, at the level of a small group, and that shifting that pattern is the point of the work, is at the core of the work. And if you establish it at this fundamental level, it repeats way up. Right? It's a fractal pattern. And so most whole systems change starts at the opposite end. Let's decide the whole system needs to change, and they ignore all of the things down at the fundamental level. And that's when I made that. I tend to go for strident statements that get me in trouble later, but that one, it's an important one, right? And so, I have colleagues that really love the work, but they steep themselves in whole systems change. And when they send me what they're going to do in their consulting work, it's always starting at this big level. And I'm like, let's flip it. I want to flip your script completely. And we want to start with spiral journal. Like, what do you think is going on here? And then maybe talk with one other person and shift that fundamental relating pattern. That's where the action is, not at the let's change the vision level.
So what you're trying to influence us is more on this relationship level. Most people in change management would say that there is we define a target state. We define steps that will take us there. We measure our progress. And then at some point we have arrived. Can you just give us an idea of what the alternative is? So you said what we'll target really small changes. How people interact, what the relationships are like. Could you just unpack that a bit for us?
So in biology, Stuart Kaufman described this, the adjacent possible. And what that means is in human organizations, there's these little elements that are kind of discrete, but they they do fit together. So as you explore them as an individual and a pair and a group of four, and the change, the shift in the organization is going to come from doing experiments that combine and recombine those adjacent bits of information or actions or prototypes. And that's what makes a difference in creatively adapting to a situation. And so we want to have this big idea that's going to pull us forward, but most of the time, so what I'm starting to measure, let's just get down to real things. What I'm starting to measure are the things that are important to me, and there are three things. And I think rather than trying to establish what the goal is, I want to measure these as the work is unfolding. And the first thing is our relationship deepening in some way? And participants can tell you whether the relationship is deepening in the interaction or not. So it's measurable. Second thing is, are some new options, some new adjacent possibilities starting to take shape? Also, people in this, like right now, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. Maybe this has been a dull interview. I don't know. But they know. Each person knows. And so I want that measured as we go. It could be 10 minutes into a thing or after a meeting. Third thing is there some kind of context that we're getting clearer on? Is there kind of a map of reality, a story, a narrative we can tell ourselves, a something that gives us more clarity about the context? So, and when you take those three together, you start to measure, are we more capable of adapting creatively? So our relationships deepening could be you with yourself, you with the group. Are some really new things popping into view that could be old things, but now they seem possible? And then are we getting a little clearer about the map moving forward? And if you're getting all of those things, that's the primary measurement of how I think we're going to make progress, not moving toward a goal, a predetermined objective that very likely is going to be too small very soon into the work that you're doing together. You're underestimating what's possible almost always. And you get sucked into it like that. Okay, that's what we're supposed to be doing, rather than using all of our imagination and our resolve to make a difference, which the kind of measurement I just mentioned draws out more of that. It's what I care about the most. And I think it's a better way of measuring making progress together.
Second to last question. And I just want to emphasize that this is not a rhetorical question. I really want to have your opinion on this. Do you see the Liberating Structures menu growing even further in the future? Or do you feel like now it's kind of complete, or maybe there's a point at which it just becomes too big? I know you're just in the process of publishing this, so this is maybe the worst time to ask, but what's your feeling about this at the moment?
There's no end in sight. There will never be. So what we did in the book, what we did in the book was work with one person and told a story about working with her to take something she'd been working for 10 years and having a lot of success, but never wrote it up in a way that anybody could use it. Never wrote it up with minimum specifications, never wrote it up with kind of the ambitions that we have for any liberating structure, which is simple enough to use, sort of modular. It fits in with the other liberating structures. It's usually fun and some other things. So we wrote up one, and it's, as far as I'm concerned, in the form, we got it into a form like all the others. It needs more field testing. So it's not in the formal repertoire, but we wrote up, how do you do that? And so since book is about to be published, there's at least three or four that people are bringing up, you know, right now that they're kind of kind of using the mat, they're really good and should be, and we haven't done it yet, but we want to create a Liberating Structures Commons it's not Slack, but rather something like Circle or some other place where people can support each other in a better way and develop structures like crazy as they will. And so revealing metaphors isn't in, it's talked about in the book, but it's not in the repertoire. And there's a bunch of others like that. Like if you use tiny monsters or tiny demons, you know, Fisher kind of resists some of the formalization for reasons because his imagination cannot be held back, you know, Fisher. So there's that one. I wrote it up, but I couldn't get him, you know, I wrote it up, but I needed him as a partner to formalize it. And we just ran out of time. So there's probably 10 more really ready to join in the repertoire. And I think, I don't know what that's going to mean. I know that we can't fit the icons and the names on a screen anymore, right? It's too many. But there's no reason, because of the nature of this community and the nature of the work, there's no way to limit it. There's not. It would be nutty. And we are the only other really relevant thing, and thanks for the help from you, Johannes. We're changing the Creative Commons license a bit to, before we were fully non-commercial. So now we have a Creative Commons license that includes commercial activity.
Final question. When you look at the global liberating structures community, what experiences are happening right now that get you the most excited?
I love it when somebody writes me a note and say, one recent one, I'll just use an example. I'm so excited about it. She's a Rhodes Scholar got a big scholarship, you know, in Norway. She's working on a really cool project for children to respect and clean up the ocean. And so she's a faculty member, got this scholarship. And as she's doing this really intense research, she also wants to include intergenerational action research on the ocean and how it is the ocean has a memory, the ocean is a entity, and we need to be included. We need to include a lot of different people in shaping how we respond to that. But I get to witness somebody who's wildly creative trying to do something so important in the world that makes a huge difference. So there's a lot of that. And I just said, it's a privileged position because people think I might be able to help. And so I hear a lot of good stories and I get to, you know, give my opinion on what a string might be and bring the new liberating structures into that string, into the larger thinking about what are we going to do about the ocean? Oh my, I think it's visually, I think there's some global thing I could say, but individually supporting the individual's work is probably the most exciting thing for me. The other one I mentioned, the measurement thing, I'm prototyping that measurement approach. It's trying to call it the Spidergram mirror. There's a lot of silly things I'm doing with prototypes, but the basic idea is we should measure what we really care about. That's about the pattern of relationships. So let's get on that. So that's personally, that's my commitment to take that measurement approach more seriously.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. As always, this podcast is sponsored by Holisticon. We have developed the Liberating Structures app that you can check out on the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. And if you want to get more information about the company, you can go to holisticon.de. Please don't miss our next Transform Together session on May 19th at 9 a.m. Central European Summer Time, because I will be talking to Joshua Arnold. He's from New Zealand, and he has the website Black Swan Farming. We're going to be talking about cost of delay, product DevOps, and of course AI. See you then.